Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Between the Presets, a podcast by me, Rudy Stettner, that comes out every Monday evening. Here is the place where anything that can be said in polite company is fair game for discussion, even if it occasionally offends. Let's roll. Hello. It is Monday evening, the 16th day of Adar 2, 5784 on the Jewish calendar, and Monday evening, March 25th, 2024 on the English calendar. I just finished celebrating Purim with my family last night, and on Purim itself, I actually didn't have a drop of alcohol to drink. Being that I was driving constantly, and I do not like sitting behind the wheel with even a drop of alcohol in my system. It seems incongruous to flirt with tragedy while celebrating a joyous holiday. If I can get somebody to drive for me next year, I would dearly love to do so because I do enjoy the alcohol. During the book, the holiday of Purim, we read the Book of Esther twice, once in the evening, once in the daytime. We deliver gifts of food to friends and family. Some of those can be quite generous. And we also make donations to poor people and, of course, organizations that help impoverished individuals. And right when the holiday ends, the month or so of preparation for Passover begins. And all of those cookies and cakes and crumbs that were generated in the feverish celebration of the Purim holiday have to be cleaned from the house for Passover. It's an interesting, if somewhat nerve-wracking juxtaposition. Switching over to Pesach, Passover themes. There's one game that I recall my children playing and other people's children playing in synagogue. It's a game called Nuts. That does not mean feigning insanity. It means basically gambling with nuts. The little hazelnuts actually lend themselves best to this pursuit. Now, the way it works, a kid goes into shul with a couple pounds of nuts, and one kid cups his or her hands around the nuts. It might be 2, 3, 5, whatever, and holds his hands tightly together, and the other kid feels the kid's hands, shakes them, squeezes them, and tries to make a educated guess as to how many nuts the kid is holding. So if one player is holding 4 nuts between his clasped palms, then, and the other kid guesses correctly that he has 4 nuts, then the kid who had the nuts in his hand has to hand over the 4 nuts. If he guesses a number other than the correct number of nuts that the other player is holding, then he has to give the other player 4 nuts, or whatever it is. And some kids are extraordinarily good at it and go home with a much larger number of nuts, and other kids go home shamefaced and empty-handed and have to beg their mother to buy more nuts to gamble. Only at first glance, to me, is this just a child's game. Although it's that, too. It's also a metaphor. Looking at a person, one can overestimate them, guess that they're smarter, kinder, whatever, than they are, or vice versa. One can underestimate what a person is, you know, what they've accomplished, what have you. And knowing a person's achievements, challenges, and potential, that can be a guessing game, albeit an educated guessing game. So playing nuts actually provides a subliminal message. You never know who you're with, how much is hidden beneath the surface of that person. And more profoundly, Pesach, Passover, only lasts for 8 days out of the land of Israel and 7 days in Israel. And immediately the day after Passover, Pesach, the kid who is a rock star because he has 20 pounds of nuts in a garbage bag where he started out with 2 pounds in a shopping bag, nobody cares. Nobody wants to play him anymore. Everybody's graduated to other games and other concerns. Maybe he'll hand the nuts back to his parents to hopefully make fruitcake or something nice, but it's worthless. We are all playing nuts. We're collecting dollars. We're collecting euros. Maybe we have some fancy hobbies like bottles of wine. Our time here on Earth is a short festival. And when that festival ends, all of the dollars, euros, whatever, lose all of their value in our hands. So contemplating that child's game is a profound eye-opener, one that I deeply appreciate. One other thing that comes close to providing that type of insight is holding an old banknote that no longer has any value. I remember when I was in the former Yugoslavia that a 100 dinar note was worth about $7.50. That was enough to pay the youth hostel, get a meal, and have a couple beers. Later on, many years later, I bought a stack of 100 dinar notes, thinking that I had scored like maybe $100 or something like that. I brought them to the bank and they laughed at me and I said, "Aren't they good anymore?" And the lady said, "Yeah, they're good, but they're not worth much." And I managed to find out that the 100 dinars that had been worth $7.50 were worth, at that time, maybe a stack of 100 bills was worth a nickel. In neighboring Serbia, the inflation got so bad that you could sit down to a meal in a restaurant, and at the start of the meal, the price might be 50 billion dinar, And by the end of the meal, an hour and a half later, the price had gone up to 65 billion dinar. And the way they found around that was they posted prices in German marks, in US dollars, and the hard currency price stayed the same, but the local currency price was subject to constant fluctuation. I had a professor who once taught in Argentina, who wanted to give a visual representation of what in hyperinflation looked like. So he took a picture of his weekly paycheck, which was stacks of Argentine pesos covering a desk in what were impressively high denominations, like 100,000, 500,000, whatever it was. And it really drove things home. I find it interesting, not so much looking at political leaders and political events. I like looking at the lives of people who never become famous, who just lead quiet working lives, trying to raise their family as well as possible. And one question I learned to ask early on is to look at things not in dollars and cents, but the number of minutes one must work for, say, a half a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread. What percentage of one's working hours are devoted to paying the rent? And I find when things are couched in these terms, that it works far better at understanding how people live and how easy or difficult it is for people to live. During the Purim holiday, we visited a family member who had a sick child in the hospital, thankfully doing better day by day with God's help. A couple of things I reflected on. It's beautiful seeing people work together to restore another person to health. Nurses and doctors coming in, technicians, housekeeping people. It's almost like watching choreography or sports. And there is something ennobling when people unite to restore other people to good health. When people realize that our anatomy and our bodily functions are common denominators that unite us all, of whatever race, language, religion, whatever have you. And although everyone, you know, in a hospital like that is under strain, worrying about the well-being of their loved ones, people are united and, you know, concerned for them, not only themselves and their loved ones, but for the well-being of the strangers among whom they are as well. Another thing that's a, you know, common feature of medical surroundings is looking at the different systems that work in symphonic cooperation to sustain human life. You hear about blood pressure, pulse, oxygenation of the blood, brain function, reflexes. Everything is monitored, and each of these systems in the human body affects each other. They are not, these parts of the human body, these aspects of its functioning, circulation, brainwaves, etc. The goal is in a healthy person for all of them to work in harmony. And when I am surrounded by that, it can't help but spill over into my view of the human species. One of the most splendid and dangerous animals inhabiting this planet, capable of so much for good or otherwise. Over the weekend, we took quite a few car services, went to a couple of parking garages, ate out a couple places, and when you get out of your daily routine like that, one becomes acutely aware that while you have the day off, you're at leisure or in pursuit of whatever personal betterment there might be, that other people are working, that your spoke of the wheel for now is on top and it will be on the bottom, and for that wheel to turn, every spoke must be maintained, the tire must be maintained on the wheel, etc. And like the various systems in the human body, the neurosystem, the digestive system, the circulatory system, etc., that our individual well-being is for the common good, and that we should seek to strengthen and to help each other. Back to the subject of hospitals, there is a family of diseases known as autoimmune diseases. I think lupus is one. There's idiopathic thrombocytic purpura, in which the body attacks its own platelets and people bleed uncontrollably until the disease is brought under control. And we recognize it as extremely unhealthy when the body attacks its own cells. And it seems to me that when you have people hating the wealthy, or wealthy people trying, you know, having a lack of empathy for people that are dependent upon their business for a living, people hating people of other races and other religions among whom they live and maybe with whom they work or travel, that this class warfare, ethnic hatred, seems to me like in a manner of speaking, a social, spiritual, autoimmune disease. And that we should see ourselves as part of a potentially harmonious whole, working together to live better and to be happier. There is a Jewish concept, I'm sure it exists in other faith traditions as well, that everything in creation that we see is there to teach us something. Now, I grew up with various people in my family with autoimmune diseases, and that idea of seeking not only harmony within a body or an organism, but harmony within a society, that is what I walk away with. My attitude is that nothing is only what it is. Everything around us is there to teach us something, to make our lives better and the lives of those around us. With Israel at war, with Russia and Ukraine at war, and a lot of friction in our society here in America, these lessons have to me a compelling immediacy. So I not only wish all of you a blessed and wonderful week, keep the sick and in need in your prayers at all times. And not only that, ask what you can do for them. I heard a Hasidic story once. Somebody asked a Rebbe, what's the use of atheism? And the Rebbe answered, when you see somebody in need, you don't just say, God will help. You ask yourself, what if no one helps? And then you pitch in yourself. I like that message very much. It reminds me that the appearance that the world runs by itself with no higher power guiding it is an illusion. And ideally, we should be the hands of our Creator in making the world a better place. That's the plan. Let's go for it. This wraps up another weekly episode of Between the Presets. I thank you all for the pleasure of sharing with me my weekly muse. Whatever platform you access, hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a comment is much appreciated. My email address is thewinterriders@gmail.com. thewinterriders@gmail.com. Until next week, adio, which in some African languages means born on Monday or be righteous, and closely resembles adios in Spanish.